Irene, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Irene.
I've been, well, I'll qualify by saying, I've been in the program most of my life, actually. I'm happy to say. I came in when I was 32 years old. I had been overweight from the age of 5. I had been obese on and off for many years. I was 32. I had had a back problem. And my back went out. I went to the doctor, and an x-ray was taken, and after the x-ray, you know, she looked at it, and she said, this was a skinny, tiny, tiny, skinny, skinny, tiny, skinny lady. And she said to me, well, you're going, she said, if you continue at this rate and staying this size, you will be in a wheelchair by the time you're 50. She said, you have too much weight and you have to get it off. And I didn't say one thing to her because I was afraid I was going to cry, because previous to that, for 2 years previous to that, I had tried to be on a diet every single day. My classic diet was like a piece of toast and orange juice in the morning, and, you know, like 2 hard-boiled eggs for lunch, and fish was out of the question, like, you know, a hamburger patty maybe for dinner. I mean, that was my diet. Or salad. Yeah, I always liked to have a salad. So I couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't do it. For 2 years before, I had had surgery when I was 30, and there was a possibility that it was cancer, and when I'm depressed, I can't eat. And obviously, I haven't been depressed for very long periods of time in my life, because I'm happy to say I could eat at any time. I mean, that's normal for me. And the depression, I lose my appetite, and the whole thing, I hate it. And I was in that kind of a depression, and I had gone from 230 pounds to 180. And this was when the tumor was there, and they were trying to take it down with hormones and other things, and that didn't work, and it just grew. And the fact is that I, you know, was 30, trying to have more children. I have a daughter, one child. And I had to have a full hysterectomy. And the thing was that if they could save my ovary, they would, and they couldn't. But I thought, you know, that I had cancer. And I hadn't eaten much. And in the 3 or 4 months that this was going on, and my doctor came in the recovery room, and to tell me the good news that it wasn't cancer, that it was endometriosis that created this whole thing, and which was good. And I remember, in, you know, here I am coming out of anesthesia, and I thought to myself, ooh, now we could make up for all those times they had all those good food out that I had no appetite. Mm. I mean, I was just like that. That was the first thing on my mind. It wasn't like, oh, goody, you don't have cancer. It was like, wow, what can we eat now? And I had nausea from the anesthesia, and I was still thinking this. I was making plans, and that's really the whole thing that I was never conscious of in my whole life, that eating was never spontaneous. It was always planned, which is abstinence too. It's not spontaneous. It needs to be planned. So I found that out too. So that was interesting. You know, I got out of, I started to recover, and in 2 weeks, I said to myself, you're not going to worry about a diet. for the next 2 weeks, you're just going to eat anything you want, and then after 2 weeks, you'll go to Weight Watchers and you'll do, you know, what you do. And so 2 years came, and I still couldn't get, I couldn't stop. And I was gaining weight in a way that I had never gained before. I was eating enormous amounts of food. I couldn't believe. I used to have this feeling like my mind was in the corner of the room observing this catastrophe that was going on. And I couldn't believe that it was like a nightmare. I really felt like this isn't real. I couldn't believe how much I was eating, and I was never hungry. But I just wanted it, you know? I just wanted it. And I wasn't really buying things. My only control was, like, I wasn't buying stuff like candy and cookies and things like that. But I always had bread in the house. So that took the place of the cookies, and that's why I knew that I was addicted. Because it wasn't just, sugar was a given. I mean, we all know that we shouldn't have ice cream and all that crap. But do we all know that we shouldn't have bread? You know, do we really know that? That those are high-carb foods that are fueling addictions? And so that's what truly was happening to me. I was never hungry, but I was eating these enormous amounts of food, and I could not stop. I mean, it was just until it was gone. And when I would get to that point, I would go, ooh, I'm not going to eat that again. And in 15 minutes, I was getting up and thinking, there was nothing in the house, I better drive and get something. Yeah. And that's my life was like that. That's how it was. I would be sitting in my living room, kind of gazing out the window, thinking, you know, I wish that I had a life like that neighbor across the street. Or I wish, looking back, it was very sad. And it was, I mean, I had a family, I had a child at the time. When I came into OA, she was 7 and a half. And she's 55 now, and I've been in ever since, and I'm abstinent, I'm happy to say. So that's what my life was like, and this doctor was telling me, you know, you got to get it off, and otherwise you're going to be in a wheelchair. I was 32. You're going to be in a wheelchair when you're 50. And it was like, dismissed, next. And I wanted to cry. I wanted to grip the desk and saying, don't do this to me. Put me in the hospital, do something, I can't stop. You don't know what I've been doing. But I couldn't do any of that. So I went into the car, and I was driving to my sister's house to tell her what was going on. And an aunt was visiting, I hadn't seen her in many years, from New York, and she had lost like 75 pounds in OA in a couple of years or a year. And she said, and I told her, of course, him what was going on, crying. And she said, you know, come to Overeaters Anonymous, let's find a meeting, and let's go. And I was very reluctant because I had been going to Weight Watchers on and off, and I was sick of the clapping, and I was sick of the, you know, I wasn't doing well, let's clap for her, she's gaining weight. It was just not for me. But my aunt said, come, you know. So we went to my first meeting. And at that meeting, I listened. I don't know, you don't read How It Works here, I don't think. But I think it's page 56 of the AA Big Book. I think that's where it is, but I'm not sure. And it talks about being honest. Being honest and honest with ourselves. And at that point, I thought about, and the person who was leading the meeting that I spoke at was also an AA member. And she said, our problem is carbohydrates, we're addicted. And she said, we. I know a lot of, there's a lot of people probably sitting here that say, well, I could handle rice cracker or whatever. And, but it's not that, I never went for rice crackers. I never ate. And corn was not something that I was, planning. Ooh, I wish I could have corn on the cob. Ooh. Or I wish I could have a rice cracker, or I wish, saltine. No. But these are the things that I would think, I could have that. That's not like, having an Oreo. And that would be okay, but I didn't understand addiction, that was fueling an addiction. It was giving it the go-ahead. It was spurring it on for stuff that I was just going to make sure that I got. And it had taken over. It had run my life and put me in a state. I had lost total confidence in myself. I had been totally withdrawn. My clothes from 3 days ago were tight, which were stretched out 3 days ago. And I had nothing to wear because I refused to buy peach-colored pants that they, in those days, this was 46, with the grace of God, right now it's 46 years and 11 months. I came in August 1972. That's what was available for people that were my size. Peach pants. That's all I could remember was peach pants. And I certainly didn't want to wear that. And so the clothes that I would find that I thought were acceptable were getting too tight on me. And it was like that I had nowhere to go, in that I didn't want to go anywhere. It's not that I had places to go. People would call up that I saw last week and saying, let's get together. And I wouldn't want to see them because I gained weight. I got fatter. And it was humiliating. I didn't know. And this was what was happening to me. I love to be around people. I love to have friends. But my life was in total withdrawal. I was totally withdrawn and making up stories of why I couldn't see anybody. My husband's very sociable, and I didn't want to go anywhere and do anything. And he had had it with me. It was very difficult in our household. Any problems that came up that we would discuss, which would have a lot of intensity around, then we would start to get into my weight. And if you weren't that size, and I wouldn't have even looked at you at this. And we said horrible things to each other. I'm married to the same man, by the way. And he's great, This is very confidential, because I would never want to hurt him that I'm telling this to a crowd. We both said things to each other during those times that were terrible. So I'm glad that's all way behind me, 46 years ago. And so when I came and I heard that if you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. And I heard too, about the carbohydrate addiction. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I had no idea how I won't have a bagel again or an English muffin. It sounds so ridiculous to me now, but I had no idea how I was going to live without it. But I heard somebody said, all we have to do this for is for the next 24 hours. And when it said, if you want what we have are willing to go to any length to get it, am I willing to go to any length? Well, I sat there and I remembered going, through childbirth. And I've had several major surgeries on my body, that were, you know, in a lot of pain way before the surgeries, that I lived through 24 hours of pain. And I thought, you know, if I could do that, I could do this. I am going to try it. And they promised me that all I have to do is go through this for the next 24 hours, and each day that I'm away from those foods, the high carbohydrate foods, I'll start to lose the desire for them. See, it was the cravings that were so strong that it didn't matter what the consequences were. I knew what the consequences were. I didn't care. Oh, I'll worry about that afterwards. I'll worry about that tomorrow, because tomorrow I'll feel like going on a diet. I'll really feel like it. And tomorrow never came. Never came, ever. So going to any length, doing it for 24 hours, doing everything in everything, even making a phone call, which was like the ultimate of any length, that I would use whatever tools were available to me, because that's all going to any length.
Excuse me, your time is up.
It's 5 minutes left? Mm-hmm. That's the 15 minutes?
I gave you a 10 and then a 5. Yeah, you're finished.
Oh, I'm finished, but I'm still going, so thank you very much.